Because God has the answer and the solution to everything that's going on. And so looking beyond the problem and looking for the solution and speaking life into the solution, rather life into the problem. Amen? Okay, so that's our challenge this week. And so at this time, does everyone have their bracelet? All right, so we're going to transition on here. We have a sermon video, and then this morning we are going to hear from Pastor Cheryl McIntosh. She is bringing the word this morning. So at this time, we're ready for the sermon video, and then Cheryl will come right on up.
Good morning. When I think about Black History Week or Black History Month, when I was much younger, it used to be called Negro History Month or Negro History Week when I was much younger. And when I think about that, I think about all the things that many people did for the Black race. That's how it started, with the Black race. But then it went for the Mexicans, the Chinese, the Korean, whites, and everybody. But when I think about that, I think about how it begun. And it begun, as the song was saying, with Jesus Christ. And when he died for us, and when he got out of that grave, it's like we had our running shoes on. But in going back to Martin Luther King, I think about things that I went through as a person and as a Black female, a Black child. I went to the community college in the area where I live. And when I graduated, I went to work into the high school system. And I had been there about a year and a half. And I got a call one day, which was very surprising, from one of my instructors. And her name was Carol Pritchett. She was a psychologist at the school, and she also worked in our local mental health outreach center. She called me and wanted to know, was I interested in applying for a position where she worked? Wouldn't you be? I was. I worked at the school system, and I loved. But to do this was something so different. Think about it. This was many years ago. This was back in the 70s. A lot of Black people did not have office jobs. A lot of Black people did not work. No Black people worked in the banks at all. There were teachers and principals and stuff like that, but not in offices. So when I went and talked to my principal about it and some teachers that I worked with, they were really surprised and they were happy for me. When I went to apply for the position, they were nice. They were very nice people. And when I was offered the position, I was so grateful, so honored, and so pleased for me and my family. And everything was very nice there for me. I was the only Black person in the whole office. This was outpatient mental health. We had health department people working with us. We had alcohol, drug abuse working with us. And I was the only Black person there. Later, they did hire another Black woman that I went to school with and that we were roommates. But I knew nothing about her being hired. I had been there about a year and a half, and I loved the job. It was a job helping people that were hurt. Again, there were people coming in with mental health problems that we had to evaluate and send them to either the local hospital or to a state facility, because back then, most Black people did not have good insurance to go to a hospital for people with mental health. The majority of them were on Medicaid. Very few, maybe the teachers and stuff like that, had good insurance. About a year and a half had passed when I started thinking and things were being said, and I figured out that the reason they hired me was because I was Black. So was I offended? A little bit. I really was. But I had some sense in my head not to fly off the handle like a lot of people would normally do and say, did you hire me because I was Black? I am not going to stay here. That's not what I did. As I said, I got along with everybody there. I was very well liked because of God. I know that. So I started talking to the woman that was my immediate supervisor, hinting around stuff. And I knew she lived in an area like in Granger, Norwood. And she had a black housekeeper, and her children were very educated, but she loved her housekeeper. She was a black woman, but she loved her. She loved her, I found out later, because she related to her as a person that she liked, she trusted, and because of the communication that they had among one another. So I started talking to her, and what I found out was yes, because of affirmative action, and we were part state, part county, they had to have that racial, and they had to have a black person. But she talked to me, and I believed her when she said, you qualified. You didn't just get, you got the interview because you were black, but you got the position because of your qualifications and your abilities. And she brought that word up, word, how you word things. When you talk to people, how you talk to the psychiatrists and stuff. So just like we're going to talk about today, the word is powerful. Even back then, I found out that words are powerful. So I loved that job. I would still be there, but I left the area. I loved what I was doing because even back then, I loved to serve people. I was in church, but I wasn't mature as I would think that I am now. And I understood that I was serving a mighty God. I was serving a powerful God by helping people that were hurt and confused. And I loved getting on the phone and making arrangements for them to go to facilities of people that could manage their medication and take care of them so they could be sent back home. Mental health is a very difficult thing for you to help someone with. So I was hired because of me, the color of my skin. Then once when I moved here, I was on a job doing medical records. I want to tell you these things because I want you to know about as a black person, because we are talking about Black History Week, what some blacks have to go through. And with me, I went out of town to help in medical records. And it was in Evansville, Indiana. I had to go to almost all white Huntingsville. No, that was all white except for one old man. I went to a Newburgh, which was predominantly white, to work. And there I found out the next place I had to go to where there was only one white man and his son, I was not allowed to stay there for the night. At a hotel. I had to drive an hour and a half back to the hotel in Evansville because of my safety. They were afraid that if I stayed in a hotel being a black woman, I may be hurt. Whoa! I never heard of such from where I lived in my time. I heard about it in my great-grandparents' time, but not in my time. You as a black woman would not have been allowed to go to this nursing home and stay in a hotel or to go out and eat. We didn't even go out for lunch. They told me I had to come in the morning when it was daylight and I had to leave before it got night and be back. Was I scared? Nah. I really wasn't. I don't understand why I wasn't afraid, but I wasn't. Because I had never been in that type of environment where for my safety, but everything went fine. But you know what? That's where we were. And when I think about Black History Month, I think about where we were versus where we are. Now I can go, my husband and I don't have to worry about what town, what hotel we go in because we are black. We can go and stay anywhere. Actually, we can buy a house now anywhere. Or if they don't want us there, they may not let us know. So that wouldn't be nice because that did happen to my husband. He went to try to buy a house years ago and he couldn't because of the color of his skin. Another thing I think about is that years ago, my ancestors could not learn to read. They better not sit down anywhere and somebody try to teach them how to read. They will be hung. And if a white man, a woman was trying to help them to read, they probably would be hung too. Did you know this? Or you just heard about it? Grew up with that. Okay. But thank God, thank not just Martin Luther King, but people that helped him, people that got alongside of him arm in arm. Today, me and my family can learn how to read and write and carry a Bible. Any of us in the United States of America can learn how to read and write and carry a Bible. But you know what? There are still countries where men and women are not allowed to carry a Bible. I think of freedom when I think about Black History Month. It's not just for me. It's for you too. You know, it's for all of us. So much change. Women can be pastors now. Back in a time, women could not be leaders. Oh my goodness, now they're running for presidents of the United States. You know, a Black man ran for, regardless of your view on it, a Black man ran for president of the United States and he won. And it was our job to pray for him. Amen. Just like today, I stand as a Black woman. I told you once before, regardless of what some people say about the president, it's our job to pray for him. It's our job to speak life into him. Yes. It is our job to say positive words into his life and into the politics, into his family. Because when we don't, death will take over. And who will that affect? You and me and our families. Yes. It will affect our church. And we don't want that. So we need to be careful with the words that we use, the words that come out of our mouth. It has very, very limited energy until it dies if it's negative. Words is powerful. Words were in the beginning of the Bible. Can you imagine that? When I first thought about the words, you know, God spoke life into everything. He said, and there will be birds, and there will be water, and there will be plains and everything. God did that with words. So you know, words are very powerful. So we need to be careful on how we use them. As Christians, we should fill our words with love. Love. We should not say mean things to people or individuals. It's almost like complaining. So if you say a non-loving word to someone, you should even think about taking this and putting it over here. Because if I'm going to say, Barbara Ann is ugly, what am I going to do? I'm complaining. So I'm taking this bracelet off and I'm going to put it on another arm. And that is death to Barbara Ann. I had a friend once. She was a Black friend and she was very dark complexion. And she says that when she was a young girl in Mississippi, her family used to call her skinny leg Black Betty Ann. Her name was Betty Ann. So can you imagine how she grew up with those words? Number one is she got to the point at one time when she wouldn't wear any dresses. At first, that's all they had to wear. So that was really bad for her. So she grew up later wearing nothing but pants because she didn't want anyone to see her skinny legs. And can you imagine what that did for her attitude and her self-conscious? They called her ugly and they call her Black. So you can imagine what that does for you when somebody calls you names. Correct? Correct. Names, calling, to me, is a part of complaining. So therefore, we should take this off and put it on the other one. Again, very powerful. The video explains that our words can play a vital role in bringing a life closer to Jesus, closer to God. Our words not only can bring people to God, our words can bring people further away from God. We have to be careful, brothers and sisters, when we talk to people about God and church and stuff, because some people don't think that you're whipping them, you know, with that church stuff. So that's why you have to be careful when you speak the word of God. The word of God is a precious thing to talk about. So we want to make sure that we are careful on talking to people about it. Those words can push them out of the church, or those words can bring them closer to Jesus Christ. And that is our goal, to bring people closer to Jesus Christ. Am I right? Okay. Words hold a powerful thing. Even when you are saying words, you want to be careful on how you say it. Sometimes my family say, well, I could tell by that. How my grandkids call me Gigi. I can tell by the way that Gigi said that, that she didn't like it. But sometimes, you know, your thought is just a little bit off. So I have to always come back with my slightly words not saying, hearing right, come back with something loving. I love you. My grandson and I was having this conversation yesterday, and it involved tennis shoes. And I guess he said something about $10 in making $10. And I thought, well, $10, that's all? You're going to go through all that for $10? But it was the way that he perceived it. And it was probably the way that it came out of my mouth. So I had to come back and said things like, I love you. And then the words became life to him, because it was very easy that I could have put death words coming out onto him about that $10. Because $10, I can do quite a bit with $10. I can buy some hamburgers and onions and bread and all that kind of stuff with $10. A loving word will fill people's heart with joy. I think you heard that in the video. A loving word fills people's heart with joy. And we all want that joy in our life. Joy, I love when people say, oh, I had a bad night, and somebody else come back. But joy comes in the morning. Joy comes in the morning. Regardless of how you feeling today, tomorrow is a new day. Tomorrow is a fresh start. And we thank Jesus Christ for that. That we can have that new, fresh start every single day. Value the power of speech. I want you to value the power of speech. Speech is very important, like the words. May your tongue be a blessing. You want what comes out of your mouth. When your tongue moves, you want it to be a blessing to others. Again, we have life given out. It's a blessing to others. Sometimes we walk around, we just want to touch somebody. Good morning. Let that be a blessing to someone when you say good morning. I love you. I care about you. I pray for you. Let the words from your tongue be a blessing to people. Just like the love of Jesus Christ. In 1 Thessalonians, do we have that up there? Can we read that together? Because I want you to grab a hold of it. Sometimes pastor can get up there and your mind might be a little wandering off in that stuff, you know. But in times, she'll have you to say it with her because it goes into your mind and your heart and stuff. So let's read this together. So speak encouraging words to one another. Build up hope. Can we stop there, please? So we go back to that encouraging words that we want to give to one another. Think about in the days of Esther, when she had all she had to do. Who was there when she probably thought that, oh, this is not possible? Think about Deborah, when she thought, how can I do this? I'm a woman. Think about Moses, when he married his bride, who was black. Think about those kind of things. Somebody around them spoke encouraging words. Yes, somebody did have some negative things to say, but those positive words overrode the negative words. Those godly words is what brought Esther to be able to do what she needed to do. It brought Deborah to be able to do what she needed to do. It brought Moses to do what he needed to do. And things were accepted because of the positive, encouraging words that we give to one another. And now, friends, we ask you to honor those leaders who work so hard for you, who have been given the responsibility of urging and guiding you along in your obedience. Overwhelm them. I want you to overwhelm our leaders. From the president, from your bosses, to your parents, to your grandparents, to your pastors. And that's who I want to talk about today. They shouldn't be in here, but they are in here. We need to honor people that God has given us as leaders. When you are at work, you need to be praying for the owner or for your manager and your boss. You need to be praying for your job, because that is your job and that is your money, that is your check, that is your livelihood, that is your children and your family's money and livelihood. So you need to be praying for them. You need to be speaking positive words, encouraging words, speak life to them. I don't care if you don't like your job, but that's where God has you right now. So you want to make sure that that job is running correctly. So it is your responsibility to be praying for your bosses. It is your responsibility to be praying for your businesses. Gabe, it is Jen and the workers' responsibility to be praying for that job. I'm saying, but you and Jen are, you know, owners, so you understand what I mean. You understand? Our pastors. Sometimes we might not agree with what our leaders have to say, but God put you under them. God anointed them. What's his name? Apostle Steve and Judy. When he was here, he said that Apostle Janet was Queen Bee. He called her Queen Bee, and that's how we should think of her. We should listen. We should be there to serve her, because she can't do it all by herself. Her and Apostle Leonard, they set this church up for us, and we are here, and we call it our home, and we say we are family, so we're supposed to support what God says for them to do. We are supposed to love them. And don't you dare let anybody say anything negative about them. Never. This is a family church. What I loved about it when I came, that it wasn't just Apostle Leonard and Janet. Their children and their grandkids were here. Michael was here. He's still here. Hallelujah. We are supposed to support them. They love notes. Apostle Janet and Leonard love to read little notes that we write to them. When she sits back in her reclining chair, I can see her at the fireplace that Apostle Leonard built, reading her little notes from birthday cards or Christmas cards. I love, and I think I shared this with someone last week, that we are celebrating Black History Week. This is a multicultural church. We don't turn anybody around because of the race of their skin or age or how much money they have in the bank, right? This is Black History Week that we're supporting. And it's not just blacks. It's for all of us. And what I like is that dear granny raised all of her children, because her husband died at an early age. Oh, it's okay. Her husband died at an early age. Granny did not just raise her kids, but she took in all these foster kids. And she did not ask what color skin they were. She did not ask. I can't imagine that. She did not ask their backgrounds, except to probably to how to take care of the children, yes. And then here, Apostle Leonard and Janet, they're in this church that is a multicultural church with all of us here. It didn't just happen. It was because of how the atmosphere and everything that she was brought up with and what God did. That's what I love about being here at the river. I love that about the river. So God says it is an order for God, from God, that we are to honor our leaders. We are to appreciate our leaders. We are to love them. And I'm saying no bad words will we allow to go up against them. And I'm not saying that anybody has, but I'm just telling you, we're in a time now where friction and things are going on. Everybody doesn't like everything. Everybody thinks that they're right. But Queen Bee, I'm sitting under Queen Bee, okay? So I'm going to honor Queen Bee. I love, again, we are back into Black History Month. Back when I was a young girl in elementary school, blacks and whites could not date. Then when I talk to my husband, he talks about a different time because he grew up in St. Louis. He went to school with blacks and whites mixed. In elementary school, I didn't. I did not go to school with blacks and whites together until I was in the 10th, 11th grade. They tried it when I was in the 5th grade, but it didn't work. And all of a sudden, the state says, everybody goes together. So he doesn't understand that when I tell him about this kind of thing. In today's world, we have interracial relationships. We have interracial families. We have biracial children. Yeah. Haven't we come a long way? Wow. We've come a long way. My. So God also says, get along among yourselves. Each of you doing your part. Our counsel is that you warn the freeloaders to move on. This is what the Bible says now. And we're going with what the Bible says. Gently, gently encourage the stragglers. And reach out for those that are exalted, pulling them to their feet. And that is what we are to do, because God's word says that. If somebody is exhausted, or they just kind of standing behind, we're not supposed to leave them. The Marine says, isn't that the Marines that says, no man left behind? Is that the one? Yes. No man left behind. So if there's people, families that are kind of tired and scraggling a little bit, we are supposed to get arms with them or pull them by the hand and pull them along. Encourage them to come to prayer meeting. Encourage them to come to our food carry-ins. Encourage them to come out and pray on Thursday night. Encourage them the third Sunday of the month to come and listen to Elder Jim. Encourage them to come every Sunday, regardless of how they feel, to listen to our pastors come out and teach. Because God set them in order to do that. And be careful that when you get on each other's nerves, you don't snap at each other. This is from the word again. So sometimes people get on your nerves. Sometimes those people that are dragging behind might get on your nerves. But God says, don't snap at them. Again, speak life into them. Speak life into their life. Speak life into their homes. Because it's not just that one person that you're snapping at. The person that you're snapping at is going to go home and snap at their family. So it's going to come on down. And eventually, Pastor Janet is going to feel it. And if I snap at somebody, I don't want Pastor Janet to feel it, okay? Really. And God's word says to look for the best in each other and always do your best to bring it out. Always look for the best in someone. Every one of us has something good that God has put into it. Everybody has different callings and gifts in their life, but it all comes together. You know, I used to hear that when at a church you have this tree and different people stay home. So, or kind of slows behind. Well, that's the limbs and the leaves that are kind of getting away from that tree. But when everybody comes together, that tree starts to blossom and it's gorgeous and it's beautiful. So when you start pulling the people along with you and exhorting them, that tree, the river, will begin to blossom like nothing you've ever seen before. If you find someone being short, always come back with a kind word. And I think that's kind of what I was talking about my grandson. You know, I might have been a little bit short about that $10, but I came back with something loving because he loves for me to say, I love you, grandson. He likes that. So always come back because sometimes we're human. We try not to do that, but we might come back with something very loving. In Ephesians 4:15, do we have that? Let's read that together. But speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things. Him. And that's what we want to be like. We want to live like Christ. We want to talk like Christ. We want to treat people like Christ. And others will treat you the same way. Some might go off a little bit, but you keep speaking life to them and they're going to change. Just like years ago, people were talking about, well, you know, everybody doesn't dress like. Okay, you go into the black churches. Let me just tell you, the black churches, and they are dressed up. They have their fancy hats on. They have their two-piece suit. The men's have their three-piece with their tie and all that kind of stuff. They are dressed up. Now, that's okay. I like coming so I don't have to dress up all the time because my feet might hurt. But I'm not saying that they don't accept everybody the way they dress because they do. But I was just throwing that out there. In the black community churches, usually where I grew up, they dressed up. Now, here, I'm talking about here, not anybody else now. We are to accept people regardless of race, age, money, or what they have on. You can come in with a pair of shorts on. But the pastor, I always hear them say, you treat and love them the same way. Because they're going to continue to come, maybe the second Sunday, with those shorts on. But when you are dressed modestly and you speak to them in a loving way, that third or fourth or fifth Sunday, they're not, those shorts are going to come down. That top is going to come up. It's because of how you talk to them and how you treat them. And that feeling of Jesus Christ that is within you comes out unto them. In closing, let's read Proverbs 18:21. Oh, thank you. Let's read it together. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. And we've been talking about fruit, the basket here. So I'm telling you, when you speak life to people, it is power. You know, words come from the Bible, let's say start, and it gets in your heart, and it goes on your tongue, and it comes out, and it's powerful. And love and joy comes along with it. And fruit will multiply. We will find the church is full, and that is our dream. For the church to be full, for everyone to be saved, for everyone to be working along and getting along with each other. No one has to continuously pull their purple bracelet from one arm to the other. And we just want to be children for the Lord and bring others to salvation along with us. Thank you.
Thank you, Pastor Cheryl.